This morning, we're going to have a look at that whole passage that was read out to us from Isaiah 55. And I don't know what you thought of it when you were listening to it, but it's very much a sort of cross between a poem and a prophecy. And in other words, that some of the prophecy is kind of poetically described, isn't it? But we're going to have a look at that this morning. So, what has God got to say to us from Isaiah chapter 55? Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Everyone. What an invite from the living God. There he is, he's waiting, arms open, by the river of life, saying to everyone, without exception, come to me. There's only one thing you need to bring with you. And it's not your money, and you don't need to shower or wear nice clothes or clean your teeth or wash your hair. You don't even need any more permission to come. You have an open invitation. Everyone has an open invitation to come. And you can come just as you are. But there is one thing that you must bring when you come to the river of life. You must bring your thirst. You must bring your thirst. If you thirst for spiritual refreshment that only God can give, and if you thirst for God, then come to the waters. Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul longs after you, O God. And you can imagine in the wilderness of Israel and on the fringes of it, the deer that's described there, searching out the streams, looking for the water that will give it life, panting for it in the heat. Well, if this is you, if your soul is desperately thirsting for spiritual refreshment, if your soul is dry, if your life feels like it's in a desert, then God says to you, come to me and be refreshed at the river of life. In Revelation, we're told at the end, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and the Bride, that is Jesus, say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who desires the water of life drink freely. Can you hear God calling your name? Because you are known to him by name, intimately. You can get me intimately out. You are known to him intimately by name. Do you desire the water of life? Do you thirst for it? Then don't delay. God says, come now and drink freely. And God asks you to ask others to come, to make sure they don't miss out on the offer of the water of life. Let the one who hears say, come. And that is you. God goes on to say through Isaiah, "And he who has no money, come and buy and eat, without money and without price." We're used to Jesus turning the normal ways of the world upside down, aren't we? Bless those who curse you. Well, you could say that Jesus was a chip off the old block. Isaiah shows us that God the Father was just the same before Jesus came into the world, before he sent his Son into the world. God says we can buy all we need, all the good things we need for life. We can buy from him, yet without spending a penny. Without paying any price. How counterintuitive is that? God will freely satisfy the hunger of our souls for absolutely no cost to us. All we have to do is come to him, as Isaiah says, and incline our ears to listen diligently to him. God wants us to shape our lives to his word, to what we hear him say. God wants us to receive the real and full life from him without price. God says that then our souls will live. How fantastic is that, don't you think? God will give us freely all we need for eternal life. How amazing. And what we get freely and without price is fantastic. It's not food for the body, but it is the same thing for the soul. It is rich and it is nourishing. It is totally satisfying and sustaining for our souls. It is like bread for the body, Isaiah says. It feeds our spiritual selves. Isaiah tells us that God wants us to delight ourselves in his rich food, to delight ourselves in it. So why not do it? Why not feast on God's rich food and delight ourselves in it? God tells us that all this is possible because of the everlasting covenant he has made with us through the line of King David. Isaiah, who declared this word from God, did not know how this everlasting covenant was to be made real or to work out. But we do, because Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the line of King David. And the everlasting covenant is made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus, a descendant, if you like, of King David, which in turn was made possible by the steadfast and sure love of God the Father. His plan of salvation, which has unfolded down the generations, and particularly from David onwards, until the time was right to send his Son into the world, Jesus. Hallelujah. God says through Isaiah that his people will call nations that they did not know, and they will run to them. Now that is 6th century BC code in Hebrew for people like us, non-Jews. Nations you did not know. That's what it means. Isaiah is saying God is calling all peoples to come to him from any nation on earth. And all are invited to come and drink from the waters of life. John says, Jesus stood up and called out in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Everyone on earth is called to the water of life. They must simply come as they are and bring their thirst and drink. In verse 6, Isaiah emphasizes our need for God. He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let go of the ways of the world and return to the Lord," Isaiah says. "And he will have compassion on you." God is near. He is always near to you. And he is calling you to come. He's calling you to seek him out. And he will not only pardon, Isaiah says, not only will he pardon you, he will abundantly pardon you. God will be totally extravagant in his pardoning of you, in his forgiveness. Jesus frequently said, "The kingdom of heaven is near," or "has come near to you today." And God is always near. And we only need to take a small step to come to him every day. Why is God able to be like this with us? How is God able to be so generous in every way? Because God is not like us. He is without limits to his resources. Isaiah tells us, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." A little bit of science for you, which always fascinates me. Did you know that the edge of the known universe, in other words, where you find the furthest star, or the edge of the heavens, as high as the heavens, that's how high God is from us, is 46.5 billion light years away. How much higher are God's ways than ours? Well, if you measure it with modern science, 46.5 billion light years higher. Or perhaps better expressed as immeasurably higher. Immeasurably. You know, God's word is a thing of complete wonder. God's word is not like our word. His word is true and certain and living. God says, "My word that goes out from my mouth shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose it. It shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." It shall accomplish. It shall succeed. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be," and there was, and there still is, because of God's word. Because it's living, and it's active, and it's always sent with a purpose. And God's word is a word of flourishing and growth, Isaiah tells us. A word that satisfies thirst and brings life. And God's word is made real to us in Jesus, who is described as the word of life. It is because of the strength and truth of God's word and the life-giving water of the life that we that comes from that, that we can go forth in joy and be led forth in peace. Our joy and our peace is there because of the refreshment we receive from the living water that God alone can give. And this isn't just any old joy and peace that we get from the living water, but a deep joy, as Jesus described it, and a living peace, as he frequently gave. And we can only get it from drinking the water of life. It is our joy and our peace and the eternal partying in which even the trees of the field take part, Isaiah tells us, that God declares will make his name great and shall be an everlasting memorial to him. It is that that makes his name great, our enjoyment of his waters of life. How amazing is it that our enjoyment of the water of life is what really makes it all worthwhile for God. What a truly amazing God we have, don't you think? As Isaiah describes him in this chapter, what a truly amazing God. So come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters and join God's party. Amen.